is. Okay. It is 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40. And also we're going to look at Colossians 1, 17. So a couple passages there. Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 3. Kind of other passages that we'll look at. But the main one is going to be 1 Corinthians 14, 40. So this message is a culmination of many years of observing God's creation and studying science. Most of you know that I love science, and I used to really, you know, study it as a kid and then as a teen. I've enjoyed evaluating and creating works of art, music, wrestling with the thorny issues of formulating and evaluating biblical standards in many areas of the Christian life, and counseling believers in various struggles in their personal lives. I've noticed an underlying principle that affects all of these broad areas that I've mentioned, that God is a God of order. I've mentioned this before, and it's important to remember that. Everything that he created or rules runs smoothly when it follows the order he lays down for it, and that problems develop when it does not follow that order. So before we go any further, let me read several passages of Scripture that state or imply the orderliness that characterizes God's character and ways. First one is 1 Corinthians 14, 40. But all things must be done properly and in an orderly manner. That's pretty plain there. Colossians 1, 17. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together, which implies that orderliness. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory, and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And the phrase there in verse 3 that's important, he upholds all things by the word of his power. So you realize that there are laws that he's put in place, gravity, and so forth, that keep things going smoothly and rightly. So to begin with then, God's orderly ways are revealed in his creation. From the vastness of outer space to the inner workings of each atom, everything God created works in perfect orderliness. Order is a character quality of God by its very definition. In creation, God not only brought into being by his infinite power what did not exist previously, but he also arranged its component elements in an orderly, meaningful, purposeful, fruitful, beautiful way. He then sustained his creation by putting in place laws that would regulate and order its existence, its stability, and continuance. So if his physical creation did not obey his physical laws, say motion, gravity, inertia, conservation of matter, etc., then all life forms on earth would disintegrate into a chaotic jumble of meaningless elements or atoms or neutrons, protons, and electrons. The atoms that make up these life forms would disintegrate into a meaningless jumble of protons, electrons, and neutrons. So the heavenly bodies would crash into one another and be destroyed eventually. In fact, the atoms that make up molecular matter that makes up the heavenly bodies would all disintegrate into a random jumble of electrons, protons, and neutrons. I think you get the point, right? Okay. On the other hand, don't get the mistaken impression that orderly is equal to mechanical. Okay, keep that in mind. Everything that is beautiful or helpful, whether art, music, language, architecture, mathematics, families, governments, armies, and the list goes on, must be orderly. Whether it be organisms, organs, or organizations, order is a foundational requirement for its existence, and its continuing to function. And on top of that, orderliness is what allows creativity to be most productive and effective. Creativity and spontaneity without order soon disintegrate into randomness and chaos. So let's take the broad category of art. How many like art or do art, okay? Whether it be visual or graphic arts like painting, or whether it be music or drama, these are all forms of art. Any piece of work from any of these disciplines owes its beauty to following the orderliness of God's creation and character. Variety, harmony, balance, symmetry, color, line, and form in art and architecture. Variety, harmony, balance, symmetry, progression, purpose, and resolution in music. And I think you could describe all other forms of art in these ways. Let's examine language. Meaningful communication takes place when clear words are put together in the right order, when there's syntax. And I love languages, and I find that different languages have different syntax. So you can't use the rules of English to try to put together French, because French has different syntax and word order. German, even more. And so I have no idea about Chinese or Japanese or any of those languages, because I've never studied them. But meaningful words are formed by putting the right consonants and vowels together in the right order. Without that, all you have are meaningless sounds, if spoken, or a meaningless jumble of letters, if written. I've got a meaningless jumble of something in my throat. To add to that, every true language must have orderly rules of grammar and syntax that enable the listener or reader to understand what is being communicated by the speaker or writer. Different languages have different rules, like placement of subject, verb, and objects in a sentence, and whether an adjective precedes or follows a noun it modifies. I'm reading my Bible this year in three languages, in English, Spanish, and French. And I find interesting is that many times Spanish has a preposition before something where we would not do that in English, you know, he says at someone or, you know, something like that. And in English, it'd be like, what, why are you putting that extra, you know, preposition in there? Well, it's because that's the way it works in Spanish. So each language does follow its own rules in order to be understandable. I've studied Scottish Gaelic, and its word order and other rules are quite different from the rules of English or Spanish or French or German, which I've studied those. Nevertheless, it does have its own rules that must be followed to make sense. How about mathematics? Anybody love mathematics thing? Okay. Without an orderly progression of numerical values, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and so on, and rules and laws, you could not add, subtract, multiply, or divide, much less do complicated mathematical formulas that help us in every area of life. Consider the family unit. God created the family unit in the Garden of Eden when all was perfect and good, when the man as a loving leader and the woman as the encouraging helper. Parents are to love, nurture, provide for, teach, and discipline their children. Children are to honor and obey their parents in all things. When these rules given by God are followed, there's good order and joy and peace and harmony in the home. Obviously, when one or more of the individuals in that family are not following God's ways, then you've got problems. And it's sad. It's tragic many times. How about government? Government at first was an extension of the family order. Afterwards, other forms of rule developed. However, God instituted the order and purpose of government, which, when followed, would be a blessing to those it ruled, but if not followed, would be a curse to those it ruled. No matter what kind of government is in place, God expects us to submit in every matter that does not go against God's commands, because When those who are governed submit to the rule of government, it brings peace and harmony to the land. Remember when we had first had COVID and we had lockdowns. How many remember that nightmare? Okay. And it was very difficult because there were Christians who were on two sides of the fence on that. Some, like what God persuaded me is, okay, if we've got a way to meet even virtually, then we can do that temporarily. So we used Zoom. This is how we now have Zoom. Others said, no, you can't tell me we can't meet as a church. So they met despite the government rules. And so they had to decide to do what they thought God wanted them to do. And that's between them and the Lord. So you can see that there's sometimes different interpretations, but we at least have to have the submission in our hearts and minds that we will submit to authority unless it, and in the particular case where it goes against God. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, we are told, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. In other words, it's assuming that the government is operating the way God wants it to. That's the way God intended it. And if they're following God's rules, then it will be a blessing to those under its rule. When they don't follow God's rule, then you've got a tragic situation. The armed forces are another example. Could an army survive, much less accomplish its purpose in defending a nation if there were no order? Of course not. In an army or navy or other branch of the armed forces, there's a commander in chief, under whom are his generals and admirals, under whom are successively lower ranks of officers. The lowest ranking officer then has a workable unit of fighting men under his command. Each rank of officer looks to his immediate superior for his orders, and when he carries out his orders, everything works smoothly, and much can be accomplished in this large organization because there is order. There we go. So keep in mind that the opposite of order is chaos. Chaos is the enemy of life, peace, stability, usefulness, beauty, and goodness. Another antithesis to order is that which is random. In other words, purposeless, meaningless. Again, another contrast to order is that which is undisciplined, ungovernable, and rebellious. The same order that keeps planets and galaxies or atoms and molecules working smoothly, if it were removed, would see the entire universe destroyed in a very short time. In fact, this is exactly what will take place after the millennium when God removes his hand of order and power from his present creation. Think you're familiar with Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, and he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature and upholds all things by the word of his power. Did you catch that? Everything that's existing, he upholds it by the word of his power. All he has to do is say no, and all the atoms will fly apart. And wow, that'll be something. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 says this, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. That is a picture of all the atoms flying apart. And basically, that's what a neutron bomb and a hydrogen bomb and all the other kinds of atomic bombs look like. And that's pretty powerful and pretty devastating. So we see the same destructive effect on a different level in families, governments, and organisms when the fundamental orderliness and discipline that God intended for each of these is removed. I know that when something went wrong with one of my organs, then We had problems, still have problems. Okay. So in families, when God's stated order of husband being the loving leader and the wife being the encouraging helper is either reversed or ignored, the marriage begins to experience problems. When God's stated order of parents loving, caring authority over their children, and in turn the children honoring and obeying their parents, is circumvented or neglected by either parents or children, the family experiences problems. In governments, when God's intended orderly purpose for that government of providing justice and protection for those it rules is ignored, or when the people under that government rebel en masse against that government, then that government and its people will experience problems, which will increase the longer the situation goes on that way. So when there's an interruption or failure of the order God created in organs in our body or living organisms around us, then that organ or organism experiences problems, and if the disorder continues, it soon dies. Hope I'm not dying anytime soon, but it's causing problems. Okay. The beauty and effectiveness of art, music, and architecture is at least marred, if not destroyed, when it fails to follow the symmetry, discipline, and orderliness of God's creation, God's character, and God's ways. I don't want to get on a soapbox. There's the word, soapbox, about art. Okay. But if you want to ask me, I hate that modern art. Okay. I love realism. Okay. I wish I had the time to go into more detail in this area because of the fact that I love the beauty of true art. Notice I said true art and architecture and music. Any piece of work from any of these disciplines owes its beauty to following the orderliness of God's creation and character. In other words, variety, harmony, balance, symmetry, color, line, and form in art and architecture, or cake decoration. Variety, harmony, balance, symmetry, progression, purpose, and resolution in music. When these elements are missing in art or music, it begins to resemble the disorderliness, ugliness, or purposelessness of sin and Satan. It's no wonder that the most rebellious and openly immoral individuals that form music groups today produce the ugly, chaotic music that most clearly rebels against God's orderliness and discipline. It's no wonder that artists of the past, without a joyful personal relationship with the Lord, pioneered increasingly disorderly, chaotic genres of modern art like cubism and abstract art. If we are to be godly, we must be orderly in every area of life. 1 Corinthians 14:40 again, but all things must be done properly and in an orderly manner. That translates the Greek word taxis. Colossians 2:5. For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline. Translating again the Greek word taxis. And the stability of your faith in Christ. The Greek word taxis means an ordered or arranged sequence, a proper and correct order, right order, good order, in an orderly manner. All those are definitions of taxis. Being orderly in every area of life is not just referring to keeping our bedrooms or houses or offices arranged neatly. It refers to something even more fundamental than just neatness. Our thinking must be orderly. In fact, ordered along God's ways. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says this, "We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." So how we think is important. God has a plan and a purpose and a will about how we think. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, "Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth." Priorities in what we think is also included there. So we must be disciplined and governed by God's laws and ways in every area of our lives. including our thoughts, words, actions, relationships, and daily choices. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says this, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline." Orderliness. This must take place if we are to fully enjoy the stability, peace, purpose, and fruitfulness he intended us to have, and if we are to faithfully reflect the character of our God to those who do not yet know him. Can you think about the fact that how you act, your attitudes, your words, all of that combination, how you live it out, is having an effect on people around you? They're picking up clues by your attitudes, your words, your patience or impatience, and all sorts of things. And we want to reflect God's character in what we do and say and think and feel. So how do you put this godly discipline and orderliness into practice in your life? Well, first of all, agree with God that this godly order and discipline is necessary in order to obey him and carry out his purpose for your life. Secondly, humbly and thoroughly examine your life, including your thought patterns, your words, your actions, your relationships, and your daily choices. And ask God to show you in which of these areas godly order and discipline is needed more in your life. Ask God for his grace to begin tackling your thoughts and bringing them captive to the obedience of Christ. In other words, start regularly checking what and how you are thinking and seeing if it is consistent with God's word and God's ways. Then, by God's enablement, change your way of thinking. You do this by saying no to the wrong thoughts or way of thinking, and then telling your heart and mind what and how you are to be thinking instead. As I've counseled over the years, this is something that many people don't understand. They're like, I mean, I tell my heart what to think? Really? They thought it's just whatever comes out is what's there. You can't control it. Yes, God says you can control what you think, as we know from Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And whatsoever is true, honorable, just, all those things, okay? Think on these things. That's how you think. Oh, so you mean you can tell your mind what to think? Yes, absolutely. So this is called mental discipline. And this applies equally whether you are saying no to immoral thoughts or whether you are saying no to lusting after things or saying no to fearful thoughts or prideful thoughts or depressed thoughts or whatever is contrary to God's will and ways. I remember as a teenager, I got depressed. And when I finally read Philippians 4:8, I realized, wow, I actually have to say no to those depressed thoughts. My mind was saying, but I have a right to these depressed thoughts. You know, look at my situation, you know. and then I had to go, no, Philippians 4:8. So let me read Philippians 4:8. "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." King James Version says, think on these things. The idea is take time to think about it, meditate on it, fill your mind with it. Remember, your thinking must become more orderly and disciplined before your words, actions, and choices can become orderly. So, it starts out with how you think. I must point out to you right now that the better you get to know God personally, as I hope the series that I'm doing in prayer meeting is doing, the more you get to know God personally, the faster you will change in your thinking. Love does that. Once your thinking has become more orderly and disciplined, then ask God for wisdom to notice what words, actions, relationships and choices are not falling in line fully with your newly ordered and disciplined thinking. Ask God for grace to get these in line with your ordered thinking. So there's so much more that could be said, especially in walking you through the application of these principles to the different areas of your life. But our time is gone. So I simply ask you to consider the truth that God is a God of order, and he expects you to be like him in that, both in your thoughts and in your words and actions. I further ask you to consider that he has a will about every area of your life and everything that touches your life, that every area of your life ought to be conformed to his will and his ways. That includes the arrangement of your priorities. It includes the choices you make about the use of your time, the music you listen to, what you watch on TV, what clothes you put on and how you wear them, what you eat and how much. It includes everything. Will you make the decision right now to put this godly orderliness and discipline into practice in your life? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for showing us from your word, your ways, and your will, and your character. And Lord, we see tonight as we've dwelt on your orderliness, that you are a God of order, that the laws of the universe that you created give testimony to that, that everything that makes up matter displays that orderliness. And Lord, I pray that as we are told in your word to think in the right way and discipline our mind and our thoughts and our words and our attitudes, I pray, Father, that you would give us much grace to do that, to put it into practice. Lord, I pray that the unsaved who surround us would see that, and they would realize what you are like through our lives, through our words, our attitudes, our choices. I pray now, Lord, as we take time to share prayer requests and praise points, that we will take these to heart, and that as we pray, that we will remember that you've promised to hear our prayers if we are praying according to your will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.